morning. I saw something so beautiful in the worship this morning. You know, it says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But it says somewhere else that it refers to Jesus as the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundations of the world. God's love is so all-encompassing that before he even created the beginning, he knew we were going to need Jesus. And Jesus was, in his mind, already sacrificed. That's so awesome. It's just so complete, the work that God has done. Now, the word has been coming about a new season. And, you know, that when's that coming? That's right. The new season is now. You know, Jesus says in, I think it's John 2, he says, I'll just read it to you. You don't have to go there. This is at the wedding that took place. And I love it. In verse 4, he says, he's talking to his mom. He says, "Dear woman," I can't talk to my mom that way. "Why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." But his mom said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." You see, there was an element of faith that Mary had that bridged time. Time only exists on our plane. In God, everything is now. And she didn't analyze this and say, well, you know, he's got to go to the cross first and then he can do these things. He said, "I don't care about that. Your time is now, dude." I love that. And then when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well in John 4, he says, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." He's saying, you know, it's a ways off before we're going to see this, but it's available right now. The new season, it could be a ways off if you want it to be. Or you can step into it right now and realize that Jesus is I Am. There is no time in the Spirit of God. People have reached into things way beyond the age they were in and walked in them. And the rest of us are limping along. So faith is the ticket there. So today I want to talk about three areas of freedom. That's been sort of it's been something God's been talking to all of us about, I believe. Our first area is our access to the Father. We know that we are seated with him in heavenly places. That's Ephesians 2:6. Ephesians 1:3, we're blessed with every blessing in the heavenly realm in Christ. And let's turn to Romans 8 and look at that one. And verse 32, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? There's a completeness in our life. We've been given everything in Christ. Now, if you feel a lack in your life, it's not because God's stingy. Everything in the heavenly realm is available to each of us. Thank you. Is this thing on? Okay, so we have free access to Christ. He's our brother. He's the firstborn among many brethren. We've been brought in. We're covered by the blood. All these things that we intellectually know, we need to experience. We need to know them deep in our heart. Okay, the second freedom, we know we have free access to the Father. Second freedom that I want to talk about involves us personally. Now, if we go over to Genesis 2, that's the first book, and verse 16, it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree of the garden.'" This is, and the garden was a picture of the kingdom of God. We're free to eat of any tree. We're free to do whatever we want. We're free to find food anywhere we are. Now God is, you know, God's everywhere. You know, he prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. We don't have to go to some special place to feed on God. We're free to feed from any source. Tremendous freedom he's given us. I think that's feared by the organized church. Because, you know, if everyone was free, then you might have anarchy and it wouldn't support the system and all that. So we gravitate, you know, the pendulum swings the other way and we get into law. We're trying to do good. So we're the tree we're eating of then is the knowledge of good and evil. We need to eat of the tree of life. See, in Galatians 5:1, it says that it's for freedom that Christ set us free. He didn't have any point to it. He wants us free. Because a free individual can make the right decision. Don't you think? It's when we have our old nature influencing us, we make poor decisions. Freedom is kind of a fragile state. I mean, I don't think we can really independently be free. Now, let's look at this one parable over in Luke 11. It's, you know, I've read this for years and never had a clue what it was about. And you may say the same thing when I read this. And this starts at verse 24. But I saw something here. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, "I will return to the house I left." When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. Now let me read what the Message says. That's Eugene Peterson's translation of this. It just opens it up a little better. When an unclean spirit is expelled from someone, it drifts along through the desert looking for an oasis. Some unsuspecting soul it can bedevil. When it doesn't find anyone, it says, "I'll go back to my old haunt." On return, it finds the person spotlessly clean, but vacant. It then runs out and rounds up seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all move in. You see, Jesus can grant us freedom. But if the master doesn't move in to the house, we're going to be worse off than we were in the beginning. The house cannot remain vacant. It needs the lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we want his lordship to a degree. I mean, in our head, we want him to be completely Lord, but when situations arise, what do we choose? Do we surrender and allow his lordship, or do we try to hang on to our illusion of freedom? So let's look at John 8, please. There's a good thing there. Everybody probably knows what that one is. Starting at verse 31. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So there's something about grasping the word and being free. We'll bungle up absolute freedom. We won't be able to deal with it. That's why we really need to surrender to his lordship. Now let's run over to Galatians 5. I'm sorry to give you so much work here. And in we already did verse 1. Let's look at verse 13. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. So the freedom that we're experiencing is not just for us to be free. It's to serve others in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. You know, we all have needs and we all have worries, and we can be preoccupied with those. But what about the people around us? If we're involved in meeting our needs and our worries, we're not free. Because all those needs and worries aren't Christ. They're all fulfilled in Christ. But if we're preoccupied with what we feel isn't, we're missing out on who is. So if we go over to go back to 1 Corinthians 10. And in verse 23, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. This is important for us because we're one. And as we are aware of, bless you, as we're aware of others, our heart's going to go out to them. We want others to be free. Well, I got to get free first and then I can free everybody else. You're already free. You're free. Because you're one with Christ, you're seated at his right hand, and there's nobody that's bound that can be seated at his right hand. That's impossible. Because bondage is not part of the presence of God. It's not part of the kingdom of God. See, there's, we have a load, we have our own load to carry, because we got to deal with our stuff. But our concern really should be for other people's load, to carry that. And it's all summed up in Isaiah 58. Have you read that chapter? You haven't? Look, I made that a homework assignment months ago. I can't believe this group. Okay, we got to turn there then. And it's still an assignment. I'm just going to cherry pick this a little bit. Verses 6 and 7. Isaiah's talking about fasting and not getting results. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Everyone on the planet is your flesh and blood. You know? We're all family. Doesn't matter what your last name is. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. Doesn't matter where you live. We're all family. And then at verse 13, if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, when is the Sabbath? What day is it?
Right now.
It's every day, right? The Sabbath is a day of rest. We were called to rest. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and finisher of our faith. It's done. He was slain before the foundations of the world. We were completed before the beginning of the earth. That blows me away. Today is the day of rest. When you wake up every day, rest in his finished work. Rest in his love for you. If you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. I'll cause you to ride on the heights and to feast on the inheritance. It's available now. We can have all of this, because we're free. We're free to sit with him. We're free as his children. And we're free to help other people. Freedom is rest from doing as you please and being responsible for others.